How excellent is all the earth, eternal God is thy name. Who has thy glory far advanced above the starry frame? From mouths abased and in faith adored, strength by thee is ordained, so that thy enemies be crushed, thy vengeful foes restrained. When I look up unto the heavens, which thine own fingers frame, unto the moon and to the stars, which were by thee ordained. Then say I, what is man that thou should be mindful of him? Or what the son of man that thou so kind to him should be? For thou hast made him little less than the angels above, with glory and with dignity, with honor crowned his head, appointed Lord of all thy works, all things under his feet, all sheep and all sin, yea, and beasts that in the field do stray.
Greetings, brethren. Happy Sabbath. Hope everyone's doing well. Since the last time we had this fellowship together, thank you for your fellowship. Today, we will. It's been a while since the holy days, before the holy spring holy days, that we put the teachings on the Book of Acts on hold, a temporary hold. But today, we will resume our studies in the Book of Acts. So we can see what we are to be as being the body of Messiah, the congregation of Elohim, not some ministry, not some marginalized group, but true servants of Elohim, whether we are just three or millions. If we love Elohim in the name of his uniquely born Son and his Spirit, we are his genuine congregation. We are part of what Elohim is building through his Son, the Messiah, and his Spirit. We are that ecclesia. We are that Adat Elohim. We are the Ecclesium Dei, if you want to say that, or the congregation of Elohim, or however it might be, these words from the scriptures might be translated in any language. We are what he is making us to be, what he is building us to be, so that we could be lights in this dark world and not perish, because this world is not changing. This world is not changing. This world is not Yeshua's kingdom. This is a kingdom of darkness. It's a temporary kingdom. It's a temporary arrangement. And being the kingdom of darkness, meaning it's a kingdom, it's Elohim ruling over everything that's going on here in this evil time. And whatever sparks of life, whatever sparks of salt, if I may put, flavors of salt or sparks of life, savory salt, goodness that he finds in this world that responds to the call of his Spirit, he sanctifies and translates or transfers these lights into his kingdom of light, into the everlasting kingdom of his Son that already exists. This world, this present worldly system, is just a little spot, a little speck in his magnificent kingdom that is sustained and allowed by his grace, his great grace in his Son, to allow every generation that will exist, a time to repent, a time to be saved from this perverse generation before its final destruction, friends. So let's make our salvation sure. Let's make sure that we're not involved in the things of the world, in the systems of this world. Let's make sure that we use the world without abusing it. Okay? So let's continue in the book of Acts as we see how to do that. Alas, we covered, we were in Acts chapter, we did Acts chapter 17. We completed the entire chapter, verses 1 through 34. There we saw how Paul and Silas went to Thessalonica and taught in the synagogues, in a synagogue for three Sabbaths. He preached and demonstrated that Messiah suffered and had to suffer and resurrected according to the scriptures and is the elect one or the Messiah. And some Jews believe, and many Greeks and prominent women believe, as we saw in verses 1 through 4 of Acts 17. Continuing from their persecution as before, the unbelieving Jews persecuted them, tried to stop the apostolic work, as seen in Acts 17, verses 5 through 9. Paul and Silas were sent away safely to Berea and taught in the synagogue there. And the Bereans, as per the scripture record says, were more noble than the Thessalonians. They received the word with a ready mind and searched the scriptures daily to verify the validity of the apostolic teachings. And from there, Paul went to Athens while Silas and Timothy stayed in Berea a short while, but later went to join Paul in Athens, as found in Acts 17, verses 10 through 15. And they left Berea because those of Thessalonica came to Berea to persecute them. So they knew Paul. They really knew Paul. They did not really know Paul, Silas, and Timothy. So they sent Paul away quickly, to keep him safe. And shortly after, Silas and Timothy went to Paul at Athens. And lastly, we saw at Athens, while he was waiting for Silas and Timothy to come, he was provoked in his spirit or moved in his spirit. And he addressed and reasoned with the Jews and devout Gentiles in the synagogues. Because what was he provoked by? He was provoked by the pervasiveness of idolatry in Athens. And later on, he encountered some philosophers, Epicureans, and Stoics, which took him, and in that happenstance, Paul had the great opportunity by the Spirit of Elohim to proclaim the true Elohim to them on Mars Hill or the Areopagus, right? So as a result, at the end of that chapter, we find that of chapter 17, we find that some mocked. In other words, some of the Athenians who were listening to Paul, the philosophers, mocked. Some wanted to learn more, and others joined Paul. And that we find through Acts chapter 17, verses 16 to 34. And that was the end. That was what we covered in Acts chapter 17. So today we will cover Acts chapter 18 verses 1 through 11. So let me read that portion. I should have asked for a volunteer. Next time I'll ask for a volunteer, but today I'll read it just to save time. I'm going to read not the entire portion, but just verses 1 through 11 of Acts chapter 18. It reads, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. Because that Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome. and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought. For by their occupation they were tent makers. Verse 4. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul pressed in the Spirit, had testified to the Jews that Yeshua was Messiah, was the elect one. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. Verse 7 through 11. And he departed there, and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped Elohim, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. Or he actually lived close to the synagogue. That's what that means. He was next door to the synagogue. Verse 8. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the supreme, on the sovereign, with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Then spake the sovereign, the supreme, to Paul in the night by a vision, saying, Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not your peace, for I am with you, and no man shall set on you to hurt you, for I have much people in this city. And he continued a year and 6 months teaching the word of Elohim among them. Amen. Okay, so let's go back and see, and just quickly see what we can glean from this teaching. We've already gleaned a lot of the doctrine from Acts chapter 1 through Acts chapter 17. We already understood how the Spirit of Elohim sanctified these servants of these apostles, these men made righteous by the sacrifice of Messiah through his eternal Spirit. They were sanctified. These men were transformed, and they were led by his Spirit. They were governed by his Spirit. The kingdom of Elohim was not just a word for them, a teaching, but it lived in them. This kingdom of Elohim was in them. The Spirit dwelt in them. From time to time, the Spirit would direct them, literally direct them in many ways. At times, the word would come to them directly, as we just read, how Messiah would speak with them, literally, and guide them and tell them what they needed to know and do. So they were sustained. And as we saw, they preached that Elohim rules all through his Son and his Spirit, and that one day, and that his Son actually had to suffer, die, and rise again, and is the Messiah. That was their message, that Elohim ruled all through his Son and Spirit, and one day would come to judge all according to his divine justice. We saw how the many believe that in every situation, while they were in Jerusalem, they proclaimed the truth. They proclaimed that gospel wherever they went. When they went to other lands, the first thing they did was to do what? They sought out their brethren foremost. They tried to seek out those who already knew Elohim. And they went to where? The synagogue. Every time, without fail, every land, every town they went through in a foreign nation, their first step was the synagogue. Okay? The synagogue. And in the synagogue, what do we see? In the synagogue, there are always representative of the congregation of Elohim of Jews and Gentiles. It's never just Jews. It's always Jews and Gentiles in every situation. That's what represents the congregation of Elohim. Jews and Gentiles. It has always been, since Moses and before, the congregation was before Israelites existed, was of Gentiles. Then when he declared Jacob as Israelite, and there were, and the children of Israel came forth from Jacob's line, the congregation of Israel consisted of Israelites and Gentiles. And all the way fast forward here to the New Testament time, we see the same thing. So here we see Paul goes to Corinth and finds a fellow Jew named Aquila. He was born in Pontus. He and his wife had to leave Italy because and live in Corinth. Why? Because Claudius, the Roman ruler, emperor at that time, had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, as we saw in through verses 1 and 2 of Acts 18. All had to depart. So Paul went to dwell with this person, a Jew. So while he was in Corinth. So notice how Paul seeks after the Spirit of Elohim in him, causes him to seek after those closest to the truth as possible. And he lives with them. Why? Because of their characteristics of righteousness, which we will see, and also because they were tent makers. Priscilla and Aquila, they were tent makers. Aquila and Priscilla were tent makers, and so was Paul. So they worked together. They wrought or worked together, as it says in verse 2 to 3. They were tent makers. That's an important bit of information. Why do I say that? Because it's in the scriptures. There's nothing written in the scriptures that's not important to know. When it's time, when we're ready to know it, we will know it. But sometimes we will just read it and gloss over it. Sorry, I had to stop a little bit. I had a fire engine just blasting over there. So let's continue. So Paul worked. You see how hard he worked in the ministry, how much he suffered in the ministry. Yet he made time for his secular occupation. He was a tent maker. So we find that out here. So Paul is not going around begging for money, for support. Oh, support my ministry. Please send here. Use whatever. Use your credit card. Send cash. Send whatever you... No. He worked hard to maintain his own livelihood, his own well-being. He earned it. And as he did, so he taught. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, let's see what he's teaching about that. Yeah, actually 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6 says, "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our sovereign Yeshua Messiah, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walks disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received." That you withdraw yourself from such. Notice how Paul, like I said, in all their travelings, although they always try to seek after workers of righteousness, they would foremost go to the synagogues first. And here, not to find a place to live, he doesn't just go anywhere. He is led by the Spirit to live with Aquila and Priscilla, who are Jews. Okay? And here he says, "We command you, brethren," back in 2 Thessalonians verse 6, "we command you, brethren, in the name, in the authority of our sovereign Yeshua. So it's not a small matter. You see, sin, we can have a lot of problems in our lives, and we just don't even know where it stems from, and we don't realize it's because we're violating so many laws. Because we just choose to do unknowingly and behave like everybody else, unknowingly. You know, what's the big deal? I just live with so-and-so who lives in sin, and then, you know, yeah, he or she's not a believer, but I live with them. Sometimes we may not have a choice, I understand, but those are some of the roots of where some of our problems come. The company we keep. So now he says, now we command you, brethren, in the name, in the authority of our sovereign Yeshua Messiah, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walks disorderly and not after the tradition or the teachings which he received of us, of the apostles. Verse 7, for yourselves know how ye ought to follow us. For we behave not ourselves disorderly among you, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, for free, but wroth, but worked with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be accountable, chargeable to any of you, or be a burden to any of you. See, that's the mindset Paul has. And we're not all like Paul, but we must follow this example, as he is saying. We must do our best, those of us that are, as much as we are able, to make sure we're in the right company. Verse 9, not because we have not power or authority, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. So when people speak about, you know, oh, it's the Torah, in other words, the Old Testament scriptures and all of that, they will miss the mark. Because honestly, without hesitation, I say clearly, and according to all what the scriptures clearly say, the level of righteousness that's in the new covenant by far surpasses what's in the old covenant. By far. Honestly, I don't know how people could read the two and not see the great difference in the level of righteousness declared in the new covenant scriptures over what's in the old covenant scriptures. Verse 10, for even when we were with you, this we command you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Verse 11, for we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. It is very clear, this is not about people who for whatever reason can't work. You know, we have elderly people that are past that, you know, or for other reasons people can't know. These were not busybodies. In other words, they're fully able, but they're just here and they're doing nothing except having negative impact on others. They're busybodies. And now them that are such, we command and exhort by our sovereign Yeshua, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But you, brethren, be not weary in well doing. And if a man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Okay? So this is how we deal with the situations where we're supposed to be brethren, and then we have brethren that are doing the right things. These are the commands. Every one of us who are able must work and work as we see elsewhere, so we can help others who are for others we can't. With all our hearts, with the love of Elohim. And yet, these brethren that are working, that are behaving disorderly, we are to withdraw from them, but not count them as enemies. But rather admonish them as a brother. So that's what 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 gives us, verses 6 through 13, verses 6 and on, as we read here. So Paul is working, so going back to Acts 18, we find Paul works in his physical, secular trade to earn his living. So that's an important thing. Also what we see here, and we'll see a little bit again later, is how Paul, again, I said this, seeks out fellow believers all throughout the book of Acts. That's what you see all the apostles, all the believers did. They sought out each other. They did not think it a small thing to have a fellow believer. And that's another problem that we see today. A lot of people that claim to be believers, when you check their friends, if you were to check their friends list, there are very few Christians on that list. It's a strange thing. You'll see very few. Most of them are, for some reason, a lot of worldly people are their friends. And they don't understand that doesn't compute in the kingdom of Elohim. Elohim expects us foremost to be with our fellow brethren, to be a community. And it's up to each individual, you know, no one will force anyone to do this. Yeshua won't. But at the same time, once we do, we keep ourselves out of his company. We have to understand that because he's not going to compromise his standards. He's not. And it says, whosoever wills. So if we choose not to, yeah, like most of the world, they choose not to. But in the judgment, as it is appointed for a man once to die, then the judgment, they're going to be shocked at the outcome of those choices, like what they will have to endure. It's not going to be nice. There's no one who disobeys Elohim who's going to just stand at the throne and have an easy time. Because Elohim says, all must give an account for every idle word. Every. So if our deeds aren't forgiven now, we'll have to deal with them they will be dealt with at the throne. That's why we must repent today and that our sins be things of the past. Because he forgives what? Our past sins. How do they come past? When we repent of them. If we don't repent of them, we're not yet forgiven. We're still in danger of the judgment. So this is why we have to look at how we live. Look at, make sure we understand the new covenant teachings. It's our responsibility to be like the Bereans we read about in Acts chapter 17 that studied the word daily, reviewed the scriptures daily to prove whether what they were hearing from the apostles were true. We have to make sure we understand this personally. Personally. Little children that are of not of age need the guidance of their parents and are covered by the righteous parents. But we grown-ups, we must make sure we understand. We must make sure that we give this word our full attention so we know what he expects, so we're not shocked. And we pray and we wonder, why aren't our prayers being answered? It has a lot to do with something we need to get correct. Let's continue on. So from there, Paul reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded Jews and Greeks. He was compelled, he was moved by the Spirit to do so even more when his dear brethren, Silas and Timothy, arrived.
And he testified to the Jews that Yeshua is Messiah. That's verses 4 of 5 of Acts chapter 18. So he testified. He didn't just read to them. He gave testimony, proofs, that Messiah, that Yeshua is the Messiah, is the elect one. And as before, and I would say worse, the Jews, some Jews, or most of them, opposed and blasphemed. And as a result, Paul said to them that he shook his garment according to the Jewish custom and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean from this time, from henceforth, I will go unto the Gentiles. So he leaves these set of Jews because they were blaspheming, opposing themselves, and he said, I'm going to the Gentiles, as stated in verse 6. So he went to live, so from there he left and he went to live with another person by name of Justus. And Justus was a worshiper of Elohim who lived next door to the synagogue. Right? As seen through verse 8. So Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the sovereign with all his house, and many of the Corinthians who were listening to the teachings of Paul and Silas and Timothy, they believed and were baptized in the water. So they believed in all their household. That's something for us to pray. That's why we have to pray for our households, for our families, as we do every Friday night when we pray. We pray for our families. And we have seen results. And we thank Elohim for that. Personally, I've seen results for my family. I'm so thankful for what Elohim is doing for my brother Felix, my brother Sylvain, and I have other siblings that are presently considering. But if we don't pray and speak to Elohim, if we don't have these expectations, if we don't love our family as truly as our family, love them enough to bear the embarrassment, to bear the possible pushback, it's not going to happen. We need to risk the pushback. Believe me, brethren, search your hearts. You will see what's the worst they can say. Oh, I don't want to hear this anymore. Right? But you don't give up on them when they say, I don't want to hear this anymore. You actually stop. You shouldn't. But you should continue praying, because Elohim may open other doors from you from time to time where you can speak to them. Never give up on anyone, let alone your family. As long as they have life and breath, keep praying and look for the opportunities. Pray for strength, because it's not easy. Sometimes, I say it for myself, sometimes reaching out to our families is the hardest, seems to be harder. It seems to be easier to approach a stranger about these things than it is to approach our own families for some reason. But pray for the strength to do it, because as you do that, you will see Elohim direct your path. You will see him touch the hearts of your family. You will see him create situations to help your family. Because your family can have everlasting life. Your family can be blessed. This is about the third time that we've seen, and all the family. But we have to do it his way, the new covenant way. It's not just a matter of just keeping the Ten Commandments, brethren, as some would say. Now, the Ten Commandments are basic, bare-bone level commandments in a way. These are the bare level, bare. You don't even bother. No one should bother trying to worship Elohim, trying to ask anything other than forgiveness of sin and for salvation if they're not keeping the Ten Commandments. Because these are so basic and easy things to do. But Elohim is gracious, and so he gives us these basic, easy things to do. But the harder things of the heart and mind, these are the things that the Spirit of Elohim, through prayer and through scripture reading and practice, and exercising our faith, we will develop the characteristics where sin can't even stay in our minds, where we, if a thought of sin comes to our mind, we have the power of the Spirit to just push it away like the garbage it is. We don't entertain evil thoughts. We don't entertain evil desires. The Spirit of Elohim gives us that training and writes these super laws in our hearts and minds so that we're far above these reproachable things. Let's try to finish. So many believed with Justus, Crispus, Crispus' entire house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. Verse 9, then spake the Eternal to Paul in a dream. In a night by vision, be not afraid, but speak and hold not your peace, for I am with you, and no one shall set on you to hurt you, for I have much people in this city. And he continued there a year and 6 months, a year and a half, teaching the word of Elohim among them. You see? So here, you saw how often Paul had to leave one place to one place, flee one to another. Here he gets to stay a year and 6 months because Yeshua visited him in the night and told him so. What a blessing. What a joy. What a fellowship. What a joy divine. As the song says, could you imagine Yeshua coming to you in a vision and giving you the whatever assurance you need? These are not just things that can happen only for Paul. These things can happen for us if we're diligent, if we value them, if we value receiving them. But if we don't value receiving this type of activity, these type of interactions in our lives, we won't get them. Because we will receive according as to what? According to our faith. If we don't value this, if we don't think it's possible, then it's not going to happen. But for all who seek Messiah and ask for his presence, one day they will have his presence. They will receive this visitation. As he says, I stand at the door and knock. Right? I don't have the scripture in front, but whoever opens, he will come and sup with them. He will come in and sup with them. Let's not forget these new covenant promises. This is why when I hear brethren trying to say that somehow the new covenant is really not new, it's the old one, that doesn't make any sense. It's not true. By a far stretch, it's not true. In the old covenant, you had no such promises. Only a few prophets, could have this level of interaction with Elohim. And some of them to one degree to another. They did not have the gifts, the promise of healing like we have in the new covenant. In the old covenant, if you had leprosy, the most you could expect is the priest to tell you, leave the camp or leave the city, go to such and such place, and I will come every X amount of days to see how you are doing. And the priest, if he is a righteous priest with, you know, the Spirit of Elohim, can declare whether you're clean or unclean. But there is no pronouncement of healing. There is no such thing as go and pray for healing. Those who knew to do that, old covenant or not, Elohim was merciful, he would grant them, but very few had that mindset. But we saw Moses had that mindset when Miriam had leprosy, he cried out with all his heart to Elohim. And Elohim, in somewhat an upset tone, as the text shows, you know, tells Moses exactly what he needed to do. Lock her up, and after such and such, she'll be okay. But today in the New Covenant, we have promises of healing. I have experienced promises of healing for myself. I have seen it and been an instrument to make it happen for some of my family members. And I have family members that are still have issues, but I'm hoping and praying every day for their healing. So these things are real things that each one of us can look for. Let's value them. You can have that true fellowship of the Spirit that we're seeing here, and where Yeshua comes and speaks, as Yeshua came and spoke with Paul here, encouraging him. And he continued there in Corinth a year and a half. So much more could be said, but we'll stop here at verse 11. Thank you for listening.